Was ist gut? Ein Podcast des Deutschen Design Clubs.
In unserer heutigen Sendung geht es mal wieder um das Thema Haltung im Design. Ist es möglich, die eigene Kultur zu wahren und doch Teil einer neuen zu werden? Sind Minimalismus und Einfachheit dasselbe oder eben gerade nicht? Welche Rolle spielt Zeit für Designentwürfe? Und was findet eine Portugiesin besonders gut? Willkommen im DDcast. Ana Uvao studierte Industriedesign an der Fakultät für schöne Künste der Universität Lissabon. Nach Aufenthalten bei Miguel Vieira, Baptista, Stefan Dietz und Design Affairs war sie Partnerin bei Industrial Design Associates. Im Jahr 2014 dann gründete sie zusammen mit Gerhard Kellermann das Büro Revoir Kellermann. Sie gehört zu den noch immer viel zu wenigen Frauen im Industrial Design. Wir freuen uns bei dieser Sendung auch über die Zusammenarbeit mit der Munich Creative Business Week. Dieser DDcast ist in Zusammenarbeit mit Bayern Design im Rahmen der diesjährigen MCBW entstanden, die vom 10. bis 18. Mai in ganz München stattfindet. Am Montag dann, den 12. Mai, spricht Ana Uvao beim MCBW Design Summit im Munich Urban Collab. Seid live dabei und sichert euch eure Tickets unter mcbw.de. Mit Ana Uvao spricht jetzt mein Kollege Georg Christoph Bertsch.
Welcome, Ana Uvao. I hope you're fine and good to have you on the show.
Thanks a lot for having me. It's really a pleasure to be talking to you, Georg.
So let's jump right into what you're going to do in Munich, because you will be a major act at the Munich Creative Business Week in May. And so what's your topic that you want to discuss there or want to present there or want to, it's like, share?
Yeah, so basically I'm going to be one of the key speakers on Munich Creative Business Week Design Summit. And my topic is going to be opening minds, so design awakens curiosity. And I think this is a very interesting point that can be discussed from so many different approaches. So as you know, like our work here in the office, we are very much focused in product and industrial design. And all our work is very versatile. So we try to work in many different disciplines within the product itself. So I think like something that really connects our work, everything, is the logic, how we approach everything. So in the end, people see a picture, people see a kind of a style that they relate to. But actually what brings everything together is our approach, how we approach all these different disciplines. So I thought that it would be interesting to approach this topic from the point of the designer, so the experience that, of course, that I have, and to talk about the importance of staying curious all the time during the process, you know, so always asking questions, delve into the detail, really going beyond the surface. So it's not just about asking questions when you design a product, but it's about finding the right ones. So what are the alternative ways of doing things rather than what we know, for example? And I think that also very important in our work is that we try always to involve this kind of or to embed this kind of thinking into the teams that we work with. So by doing this, we think that we really are able to push the others to create results and innovations, something that is totally out of scope, things that not even we could design because we just have a certain type of knowledge. And we think that by doing this, we are able to create vibrant communities, which is actually the main topic of the Munich Creative Business Week this year.
There's another aspect about communities, which I think is interesting in your case, because you're from Portugal. And you told me that you feel close to Bavarian culture, which is might seem, let's say, irritating in the first moment. And but what gives you this feeling of, let's say, home, being at home in Bavaria?
I mean, it was, you know, when I arrived in Bavaria, I had absolutely no idea of what I was going to find here. And of course, as a Portuguese, I think like, okay, I'm going to go to Germany. It's going to be a very cold kind of approach. Everyone is really so distant. I mean, that's the kind of idea that you have as a South European. And when I arrived here, I was doing an internship at Stefan Dietz. And it was really interesting because there were many moments that I felt that I was the German while they were so open, so joyful. And that was something that I liked very much. And it was interesting to me as well that everyone that I got to know in Munich at the time was like that. So I felt that warmth that actually I was used to in Portugal. And the funny thing is actually that Bavarian is much more close to Portuguese than German itself. So it was very fast or very easy for me to start speaking words and sentences in Bavarian. And yeah, it became a problem because in the north, no one understands me when I speak. And it's funny because if I try to say something in German in Hamburg, let's say, they do understand my Bavarian accent. And I don't know if that's good or bad, but it's just the result of the circumstances.
So let's go to, let's say, straightforward into your studio. So talking about, let's say, the structural aspect of the studio, you just mentioned the mentality, you mentioned how you want to drive things forward, but how is it structured? So there must be a structure if you perceive yourself as more German than the Bavarians.
I mean, it has to be, it's fundamental. No, but I think like, so our office, the base structure in terms of elements, we are three, very simple. So it's me and Gerhard Kellermann, and we are partners, and we have one assistant. Very mm-hmm. simple. Very and good. We have been working in different constellations. We were five at a certain point, but it's something that we know at the moment that we really like to keep is this really small constellation of people. So both of us, Gary and I, we are really hands-on people. So we do need to do the work ourselves rather than just manage, as very often happens to be when your team starts to grow. But that's the point where we are right now. We never know what tomorrow brings. So I think like right now it's really important is so that we are really small, really close to the products and really working with full concentration. Therefore, very few clients, not much, but things that we believe on. And that's pretty much it.
So if you, I think it's very interesting. You say you want to keep it small. In order to be close to everything. And there's another aspect which I would like to discuss is, let's say, maybe the proximity or also the contradiction between minimalism and simplicity, because obviously you don't like minimalism, but what does simplicity for you mean?
I mean, for me, and I guess I speak also for Gary, for my partner, minimalism is something that reduces an object to a shape, to a concrete idea of something very reduced for the sake of being reduced. And I don't think that that's necessarily a good product. So whenever we design something, we always try to understand what is the core purpose, what is the reason why we are designing something. And for that, sometimes we do need to reduce for clarity, for honesty, for simplicity, but never for minimalism's sake. I think like it's very also easy for me to understand that people look into what we do and they try to summarize it into a word or into something that it's concrete. And minimalism is something that describes for them what we do because they see the reduction in terms of everything that it's not needed, it's not there. But I think like in the end, that's not something that drives us. I think you should not design for the sake of style. You should always address a meaning. You should always design for a purpose.
So when you now look at the work and talking about design languages, I see your work looks very coherent, but at least to me, it doesn't seem to represent a design language in itself.
Absolutely. I mean, in the end, our work is also the work of our clients. Everything that we put out there, or pretty much everything until nowadays, it has been made for someone else, together with someone else. So I think much more important that what is our design language is what's our client's design language. What's their aim? What's how do they bring their constellation of products together? So if we happen to work with them, it's because we do have something in common. And sometimes it is also style. So it's not something that it's should be neglected totally. The style is also important. But I think most of our clients, they come to us not just because of how things look, but how things work. And this is for us also one of the main aspects when we decide which client do we want to go with.
If we look now at let's say the life cycle of an industrial design object, this is one of the hottest topics that you might deal with those days, that we are all dealing with. And so how do your clients react when you not only design the object, but in a way the entire supply and recycling, upcycling chain with the goal to establish a cradle-to-cradle system? I mean, this is something might be seen kind of like offensive by one client or the other. So how do you deal with that topic?
I think that starts immediately from the beginning with the client that we select to go with, and they select to come with us. So I think like the very beginning of values needs to be aligned before we even start a kind of a relationship. I think like, with our clients, circularity is for sure important. But I also think that in the bucket of values that we work with, there are many, they are very relevant, and all of them have the same weight, and we have to be able to manage them together. I think about social responsibility, ecological responsibility, economical success, right? I mean, if you design something and then it's not successful in the market for some reason, it's also not really working, right? So honesty, clarity, durability, all of them are very necessary. And we need to assess this product by delving into this bucket and try to find the ones that are making more sense for a determined type of product.
And working, let's say, as industrial designers, you deal with material much more than, let's say, web designers or whatever, okay, AI designers. And so there's material plays a key role.
Yeah.
And let's say, back to this cradle-to-cradle topic, is the sourcing of the material in your region important for you? I mean, if you, something like semi-finished elements, joints, whatever from Bavaria, or even raw material such as wood.
Yeah, I mean, we here in the office, we try to remember ourselves, we are not the center. Our clients are. So I think like if I work with a Portuguese company, for example, makes not that much sense to be working with Bavarian whatever resource. Mm. So I think like we always try to address like what are the circumstances that our clients are working with and what are the best, absolutely best possibility for them to resource materials, but also that question of social responsibility. You know, like, for example, the work we do with Gumpu, it's for us very important because we try to keep the production as much as possible in Bavaria. At the moment, we are very happy to be in a situation that everything is produced in Germany at the moment. And as close to Dingolfing, where the manufacturing are or is there too in this area. So that's very important for us that it's done like this, because by keeping everything round and by having a strategy where the products are built as much as possible inside the infrastructures of Gumpu, we are able to employ the people of Gumpu and not just to give the work away from Germany. So that's for us very important topics that we always try to analyze, and not always we get the same solution for the same problem.
Maybe you explain a little bit what you're doing for Gumpu, because I don't think that all the listeners know about these projects.
Yeah, so basically Gumpu is an office manufacturer. They work mainly in a B2B model, and they do office furniture for big offices normally. That's normally the case. So it's a company that has 60 years of existence and a lot of tradition in design in the past, but it's a company that went kind of underground in the latest years, also because of the economic crisis and everything. And since 2017, if I'm not wrong, or 18, we started to do art direction of the brand together with all the products. So basically, instead of just designing a collection that would make sense for our times, which was the task, we did really, or we still do, a very extensive strategy work with Gumpu to try to find what is the best way for the company to develop further.
I think you're talking about time. Is it, this is a long time that have been, let's say, under the surface. It takes a certain time to develop aspects and processes. So it seems, anyhow, that you are very process-oriented, and the process seems to be a goal in itself. I mean, shaping the process and driving the process of designing. So this is something I would like to talk about. It's like, what does the process of designing mean to you?
The process is our everyday work, right? I mean, that's what we do every day. But the goal is the solution. We always have a concrete point that we do need to deliver something. So the process, of course, is very important for us, but the result has to end into something, something concrete, something abstract, depends in whatever the solution needs to be. But we don't try to sell our process to our clients. That's just part of how we work. So I think the most important to keep is, like, although process is mandatorily important, is really crucial in the way that you design, the solution is the goal.
We've already been talking about the cooperation with the clients, and if you're looking at, I think doing things like you do, it requires a lot of technical knowledge. And also, as I came and imagined, the cooperation with the engineers and technical people at the client's company. So you're not only talking with the boss, for example, about corporate design or whatever. You could talk about with people who are very much into the product and its manufacturing process. So how do you do that? Because it's not so easy to be accepted within a team, let's say, of technicians who have been doing this thing for quite a while and who know to do their thing very well.
Yeah, I think first of all, it's very important to come from a place of curiosity. Therefore, the topic of the Munich Creative Business Week fits so well. And not arrogance. We don't know everything. We do have ideas and we do have proposals, but we really believe that everything is going to be enhanced by working together. So really grabbing their attention and try to push it further. Because, of course, we can sit here all day in the office and design solutions based in research, in whatever we believe that it's fundamental. But someone who has been doing something for many years, for sure, they have a totally different approach into something. But, of course, that comes with a problem, which is if you are used to do something in the same way since always, you tend to repeat solutions, and we are always seeking for innovation in the end. So what we try to bring into our conversations and into this relationship with engineers, for example, is why are we doing what we do? So we are not doing just for sake of minimalism. They understand that that's going to bring something to the user. So in that sense, they are the first ones that come up with ideas that even we get surprised about. So that's why we think that our work is not just our work. When we work with our clients, it's definitely a collaborative work.
So then, how does the client look at the world? I mean, most clients use market research. And I think that Achille Castiglioni said market research always leads to nothing or whatever, something like that, or leads to red. So how do you deal with this kind of contradictory situation that that clients always want to know something about the market? You know a lot about the market. But how do you translate your design concepts in a language that can be accepted by the market research people within the client's company?
It's a very complex process, and it gets even more complex depending on the size of the company. So if we are talking about a corporation and it's very difficult then to speak with the people who are doing the research themselves, then it gets really tricky. But I think the most important thing that we try to understand, we always read, or whenever we get from our client like a market research, we always read it throughout, and we always try to understand what are the questions that they are making to get the answers that they get. Because I think, like, if you ask a client something, what does he want? Because very often this is what comes in market researches. What do you want us to deliver? The client is going to say something. You start a process of developing, and in the moment that you developed it, they want something else because they know much more. So I think that it's very important to understand that the user does not design. You design. So we invent the future, let's say it like that. So we are thinking ahead, thinking about the problematics that we need to solve. And we believe that the user is going to be needing that thing. So I think that that's the contradiction. And market researchers, sometimes they do not get it because their task is just to ask very concrete questions. But we try as much as we can to be involved in those researches and to speak directly to users, to not get a concrete answer from them, but to understand what is the feeling that they are seeking to.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. So, but okay. I've got a personal question. Why in first then did you come to Munich? I mean, it's not, let's say, the normal, let's say, way. Maybe from Portugal, you would rather go to Madrid, to London, but why Munich?
Yeah, I mean, I won a grant from the Portuguese Ministerium of Culture to do an internship wherever in the world. I was very young, 23, if I'm not wrong. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know exactly what I want to do. So I was still searching. I still am forever, I think. But I think that at the time, I was really interested in design critic, in writing, in philosophy even. And I thought maybe I try to go to New York to learn then later. And I did send a lot of portfolios. And no one called me back. And I was really kind of disappointed, like, what's happening? I mean, I thought that my work is not so bad. Why is it that no one is calling me? And then it came to my mind that maybe it's a problem of visa. So, I mean, just to do an internship is maybe something not so easy. So I will try to do it in Europe. And for that, I will apply to three of the studios that I that I like the most. One of them was Stefan Dietz in Munich. Okay. So I came here because I liked the work and not because I was seeking to find a city that I would connect to. And in the end, I think that both happened. So I did understand that the work here is relevant to me, also because the connection to industry is so big, so that you can design much more than furniture, but also home appliances, for example, kitchen systems by now. And then you also have the other side that I really enjoy very much about Munich, which is the calmness. So here I found that it's a city that it's so well organized, so clean, so secure that you really can concentrate in what you are willing to, in my case was to work. So that's the reason.
And, so this is the being in a place, coming to a place is one thing. Being in a place is the second thing, and also shaping the place in a way, because you're there and you're doing something which also in your context changes the city. So where do you think you have the most impact by being there? Because no one is just, unless you sit at home and watch TV. But what do you contribute in a way? What do you bring with you?
I don't know exactly what I bring, and this is something that I'm trying to always find the meaning. But I hope that with my contribution in design, that I can, by being, there are two things actually that come to my mind. So one of the things is that I hope that my contribution to design makes younger people who are interested about design understand that there are many ways to approach design and that style is definitely not the only solution out there, although it's so controlled by companies at the moment to deliver a certain type of style that as a designer you have the responsibility to think much more ahead. And I hope also that or what I seek in my work is actually just to be a little bit even invisible. My idea is more to shape the lives of people, to be able to shape the lives of people, but without them understanding that I'm there, just like rearranging things in a very discreet way, but making their lives better by exploring and by exchanging with products that are actually designed in a more intuitive way or in a way that is much more meaningful to them.
Well, I prepared for quite a while for our conversation, but one thing I just didn't get before, that you did this, let's say, corporate design or corporate identity management, as creating furniture, whatever, working with the technicians, but at the same time developing the image of the entire company or something like that. Charles and Ray Eames worked in all the fields. There are some examples, but I think it's very interesting. Why do you think you just like you went from industrial design to this rather holistic approach?
I mean, already coming from my studies, I studied in fine arts, so industrial design in fine arts. And we were always taught to observe everything from every point of view possible. So we would be sketching naked people, but at the same time have science classes about how do we perceive, how does our vision work, to very technical classes where we do calculations about the statics of products and materials. And then also have the entire creative aspect that it's always connected to industrial design. And I think like this approach of always having a holistic view about what a product is something that I was always captivated about. So I think like, to design a solution, but not to think about the world in which it is integrated, it's not enough. You know, so you can design an absolutely amazing solution, absolutely amazing product, let's say. But if the circumstances of the company that you created to, if they don't match, then it doesn't make sense. So I think the entire strategy about the company is very, very relevant because there are so many brands nowadays. Why do you as a brand have a saying? And this is for me something super important to discuss about in whatever we are designing.
What I find interesting now that I'm knowing that you've been studying fine art is that I better understand from a terminological point of view why you don't like minimalism, because minimalism is a clearly defined movement from the 1960s. Exactly. I think it's always important to really discuss which terms you would like to use or not, or why, or whatever. So thank you for this
information. I guess that's exactly where it comes from. It was too many years studying about all these stylistic movements. Yeah. And of course, like in the end, we see art, right? I mean, in the end, when we see a product, we try to define what is the art behind it. But I think like that's too less. That's too less for a product. That's too less for a good solution.
Mm. Good. So I've only got this one last question that we ask every guest. You can answer this in Portuguese if you want.
In Portuguese.
But maybe in Portuguese. So we just leave it like it is in Portuguese. So the question is, as everybody knows, what is good?
So in Portuguese, you want me to answer?
Yes, in Portuguese.
So comida. Como é óbvio, como portuguesa, o que é mais importante, ou uma das coisas mais importantes para mim é comida. Portanto, a primeira coisa que me vem à cabeça, tendo em conta as coisas que tenho provado pelo mundo, kimchi. Eu acho que kimchi é, de facto, a melhor coisa que me vem à cabeça de momento.
Ja, wunderbar, vielen Dank. Also ich habe zumindest verstanden, dass es ums Essen geht, ein Kimchi, besonders hervorgehoben wurde, auch wenn ich das nicht verstanden habe, was genau gesagt wurde. Aber so bleibt's. Das kann man dann für sich
so nice. So.
So, we should just leave it as it is.
Super nice.
Very good.
And you know, I was just saying that for a Portuguese person, food is fundamental. I mean, yeah. It's part of who we are. So of course, if you ask me what is good food, it's the first thing that comes to my mind. And kimchi at the moment, or for several years, is has been there.
So thank you very much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Hope everyone can hear you in Munich at the Munich Creative Business Week, and I hope we meet soon somewhere.
Yes,
eating.
It would be lovely. It would be okay. Lovely. Thanks a lot.
Das war Anna Remau im Gespräch mit Georg. Unsere Ausgabe 220 ist in Zusammenarbeit mit Bayern Design im Rahmen der diesjährigen Munich Creative Business Week entstanden, die vom 10. bis 18. Mai in München stattfindet. Das vielfältige Programm mit spannenden Design-Events findet ihr auf mcbw.de. Wir sind sicher, dass ihr dort die Themen findet, die euch interessieren. Sehr herzlichen Dank fürs Zuhören. Wir wünschen euch wie immer alles Gute und eine kreative Woche. Eure DDcast-Redaktion.